And now we turn to another lacerated land of pain and division, the Holy Land, where a worldwide week of action for peace in Israel and Palestine has just been launched by the World Council of Churches. In dozens of countries from the 4th to the 10th of June, Protestant, Catholic and Orthodox parishes are joining different churches in the Holy Land in praying for a land much in need of peace. And the initiative includes a host of other events and signs of support from countries as far away as Cuba, Bangladesh and New Zealand. My friend and colleague Tracy McClure spoke to Jonathan Frerichs, Programme Executive at the World Council of Churches in the Advocacy Unit, about the ongoing initiative.
We're used to hearing about a week of prayer for peace in the Holy Land. What's new about a week of action?
Well, the week of action starts with prayer. It's the first and the broadest action. And if we're reaching up to 100 countries, that's what will be done most often in parishes across those 100 countries. We have reports back from five continents and about 17, 18 countries who are definitely going to be doing things. And many good indicators the prayer has gone a lot farther. The prayer is from the heads of churches in Jerusalem. And the same prayer then will be said, and we have translations of it so far in about nine languages, in dozens and dozens of countries. So the first action is prayer. The other three actions are educate, advocate, and make a public witness of some kind, because churches around the world are, I think, frustrated at the way that peace has been denied for six decades for the two peoples that call the Holy Land their home, and are also frustrated at their inability to do something about it. The conflict just seems to grind away, that the trends are often in the wrong direction. And so giving people the chance to raise their voices upwards to God, to raise them outwards to other people, and there are wonderful examples of people spreading this initiative through churches, Protestant and Catholic, I have to say. We wouldn't be doing this as well if it hadn't been for the strong Catholic participation from the beginning.
Yeah, and I would imagine also the Orthodox churches there in the Holy Land are taking part in this too?
The Orthodox churches in the Holy Land are taking part. As people may know, there are historic churches in Jerusalem who have been there for centuries. We count 13 heads of churches, including the Latin Patriarch, but of course also the Greek Patriarch. And many other from all the families, all the four families that are found in the historic heart of Christianity in the Middle East, and they're taking part. They're the ones who've written the prayer that's being shared around the world.
So how did this initiative actually come about, and what sort of activities are being planned for this week?
It came out of a workshop where we did some advocacy training with countries that have been sending citizen monitors to Israel and Palestine for about 5 years. And we had a whole list of ideas of things to do, and this was one of them. And the idea is to bring together many voices around one message and to say together in a peaceful way that the current state of events in between Israelis and Palestinians just cannot go on. It's not doing either people what needs to be done for their future. It's not making security for either people. It's binding them into a spiral that's leading nowhere and actually destabilizing the region and the world. So we started out with just the idea of picking a time and a theme and a name, International Church Action for Peace in Palestine, Israel, and a date. And we tried Lent first, but that ran into the other emphases that take part in Lent. And we tried the last year for the 40th anniversary of the occupation in 1967. That's still going on today, of course. We picked the days of the June War, essentially, when the occupation started. And now we've settled forever and ever until there's peace. Let's hope it's real soon, for June 4 through 10. And the idea to come together and to say the same thing from different points of a concerned world is, I think, really quite healthy, to get the church's voice straight, to speak carefully to the ways in which this conflict violate so many things which are dear to the heart of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the activities being planned is actually a rebuilding a model of the security wall there in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, that's in the fourth category, do something public. There's a church in Scotland that's going to build or has built a full-sized section of the wall, and people may know that the wall is 8 or 9 meters tall. Just to let people know what a strange turn we've come to here, where Good neighbors, good fences make good neighbors, this is just going way beyond any sense of rationality of how the two people need to live side by side. Anybody who's been to, for example, Bethlehem and see it encircled by a wall that only reminds you of a prison camp, it just has to shake their heads and weep on the spot if this is what's happened. And that's an initiative there. There are many, many other things.
Now, there are some positive signs coming from the region. Qatar brokered a deal that has put an end to months of political unrest in Lebanon, and Turkey has been hosting negotiations between Israel and Syria on a peace deal. U.S. President George Bush has said he wants a peace deal between the Palestinians and Israelis by the end of his term in office. Do you think we're any closer to seeing that coming about?
Well, if an aspect of the first two examples could be seen in the third example, I think we would be getting closer. In Qatar, all sides, pretty much except the leader of Hezbollah, were represented and took part in those talks and came up with some kind of a modus vivendi, which is words, not bullets, you know, after a few scary days there in Beirut, which nobody wants to go back to. In Turkey, we don't have much information, but it's the same thing we all know. The Bible says, love your enemies. Remember, they're not necessarily any different in the sight of God than you are, and you got to speak to them. And I think that's what's happening, thanks to Turkey, between Israel and Syria. In the U.S. example, it's a little hard to see that both sides are at the table when some of the elected leaders of the Palestinian people are excluded, and not only excluded, but locked up with their population in Gaza, put under siege, treated as if they don't exist, and they have to just go away or become who knows what. That process doesn't breed much confidence, but we can pray, and God is certainly watching, and who knows. It would be a wonderful change of events if this administration managed to do 180 degrees and be an honest broker and deliver a peace that could last for both people and for their future.
You've been listening to World Council of Churches program executive Jonathan Frerichs talking to Tracy McClure.